Hello and welcome to another episode of Getting Naked with Nate. I'm your host, Nate Maingard. Let's take a really nice deep breath together. Just one big breath in and let it out. Welcome to the present moment. I hope that you're having a lovely day. My day is going beautifully. I am just preparing to go overseas. I've been gifted a ticket to Thailand to be with my sweetheart. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you will know that, or if you follow me anywhere else online, you'll know that I've been struggling on and off with depression for a while, and it's been pretty severe recently. I'm currently alone on the farm looking after the dogs while my lady's away. And just, I've also started seeing a therapist recently. And so all of these things are kind of, it's just bringing up a lot. And so there was an opportunity to go and visit with my sweetheart in Thailand. So I'm doing that. I leave tomorrow in my timeline. And so the next intro you'll hear from me will be from Thailand, where I'll be for the next few weeks. Although I did record the next episode a few weeks ago. It's crazy. Timelines. It's mad. It's like Doctor Who on steroids or something. Although I've never watched Doctor Who, so I don't even know why I said that, but it seems like Doctor Who's the kind of program where there would be confusing timelines. Maybe like the X-Men timeline, if you're into that kind of stuff. Anyway, today is a really exciting episode. I mean, I'm not over-exaggerating when I say that. It is a very special episode. I'm speaking with Sarah Beale, who is Madam Curator. She is the person who curates all of the videos that humans like you and me and other wonderful people around the world, they submit to Make Love Not Porn, which is a website that allows anyone in the world to upload videos of themselves making love, either with themselves or with their partners or with their friends or with whoever they are having their consensual lovemaking with. This conversation is quite a long one, so, you know, take it if you're on a long drive, enjoy it then, or just listen to it in several parts. But I do highly recommend you listen to the whole thing. There is so much in here. And at the end, some of the questions people ask are just like phenomenal. I didn't even remember how good they were. I've just been re-listening to it and editing it for this release, because I, you know, record a few weeks in advance, and I'm re-amazed by the topics we cover and the kind of ideas that we explore, and then the insightful questions that are asked. So do stick around for that at the end. And yeah, I'm just, thank you for being here. Thanks for getting naked with Nate. This is the experience. I hope that you're enjoying this podcast. If you are and you want to connect further, you can always leave comments or send me messages at nakedwithnate.com. So please make sure to do that. And you can also become a patron, which is how this podcast is funded. It's how my art is funded generally. The song I play in this episode was fully, the time to write this song was funded by my patrons. And so if you can afford to gift me with a cup of coffee a month, then please head over to nakedwithnate.com and click the become a patron link and get on that, because it's huge. It's the whole thing. It's why I don't have any ads on this podcast at this point or on my YouTube videos. It's because of lovely people like you who are supporting it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What else do I want to say about this episode before we get started? Just that this is like a very sensitive thing for me. It's me publicly talking about the fact that I upload videos to this website of me pleasuring myself. And that's a big deal. And it's something that I thought long and hard about, but I really believe when you listen to the episode, you'll understand why I do something like this, why I think it's important that we have this kind of conversation, why we have this kind of sharing in the world. And I'm not saying you have to do this, but it is what I feel called to do. And I think for reasons that make sense. I don't know if you know this, but we live in a world where the way that most people are being educated about sex and sexuality is through pornography. That's how children first learn about sex. And the average age that a child first watches pornography is between the ages of, I think it's 9 years old and about 13 or 11. And another scary fact is that in Australia, at one point, they wanted to do a study to see what the difference was between what kind of impact watching porn had on young children. And so they needed obviously groups so they could see the kids who had watched porn, the kids who hadn't, and see what kind of differences there were in terms of their perceptions. They couldn't do the study because they couldn't find enough children who hadn't watched pornography. This is a huge deal. We need to be having these conversations. I have put into the show notes some important videos to watch, which one of them is Cindy Gallup's TED Talk, which is she's the CEO. She's the woman who created Make Love Not Porn. And so I highly recommend checking that out. I'll put another one in the show notes. A guy, I think his name is Ron Gavrielli, and he talks about why he stopped watching pornography, and he now travels the world educating school children about porn and the dangers of it. And so yes, to me, Make Love Not Porn is one of the answers, because we are sexual beings. We all love sex, or maybe not all, but enough of us to say, to generalize, sex is how most people come into the world. It's how procreation happens. It's how humans, the race continues. And yet there's such a taboo around it, such darkness, such suppression and repression, and it's causing massive hurt to us all. And that is why I think that this episode is so important. That's why I think Make Love Not Porn is so important. And that's why I think you should listen to this. I want to hear your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree, whatever it is that comes up for you. Please let me know in the comments, nakedwithnate.com. Thank you for being here. My name is Nate Maingard, and let's get on with today's episode. Join me in welcoming the most magnificent Sarah, Madam Curator from MLNP. And let's get this show on the road. So, hey, Sarah.
Hi, Nate. So excited to be doing this with you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you for being available for this. Thank you for I don't even know how we got started or how we thought this would be a great idea to do this on the interwebs, but I do think it's a great idea, and I'm very excited that we're doing it. Thank you.
I love getting naked in all ways.
That is exactly it. Yeah, it's funny because we were saying just before we went live that this really feels like the most apt sort of episode, based on the fact that this podcast is called Getting Naked with Nate, and this is literally about me getting naked, very naked physically on the internet. So it's an interesting one. So could you maybe tell us just like in a few sentences who you are, what your role is, and what MLNP is, what Make Love Not Porn is?
Sure. So I am the curator for a site called MakeLoveNotPorn.tv. MakeLoveNotPorn.tv is a curated social sex video sharing site where everyday people share the sex they have in their everyday lives with their real partners or solo in a way that's contextualized, porn cliche free, consensual, and not performing for the camera. So we are pro-sex, pro-porn, pro-knowing the difference. We're not anti-porn, but we think that the sex that people have in their everyday lives, real-world sex, is the hottest sex there is. We think the messy humanness and awkwardness and spontaneity and emotion and real-world bodies that are all part of real life and real-world sex are the best. And we just want to be able to showcase that.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you. You have definitely spoken that a few times before. I'm like, oh, I think I understand MLNP even better than I did a few moments ago. So thank you for that. I'd love to hear from anyone watching if you guys have heard of MLNP at this point. Is Make Love Not Porn something you've heard of? Did any of you watch Cindy Gallup's TED Talk, which was from how many years ago was that? I mean, I can't even remember.
2009.
Whoa, that's crazy. TED is so old. That's amazing. It's been going for so long. Damn. We're going to get so much into all of this. I'm very excited to do that. But to all those who are watching, thank you for watching. Thank you for being willing to get naked with Nate and with Sarah and with Make Love Not Porn. Like, this is an amazing thing to be talking about. So I'm excited to have your guys' thoughts. Just you can comment at any point during this live stream, but just know that during the body of the recording, which is coming soon, I'm going to play you a little song in a moment, and then we're going to have the body of the recording, and we're not really going to interact with you guys during that, but we are going to have a Q&A once we've kind of finished with that body, and then you guys can ask questions of myself or of Sarah. You could give us your feedback. You could, if you disagree with what it is that we're talking about, please also in friendly terms tell us that. I'm so excited to have conversation about this. And so I'm going to get started with a song, which is called Lovers in the Morning Light. And I've actually making a slight change from how I usually do this, which is that I will be playing this live for you right now on my ukulele. And the reason that I've chosen this song is because it is all about intimacy. It's all about vulnerability. It's all about my journey as a sexual being, where this song is kind of the celebration of the place that I am arriving in or have arrived at as a sexual man, as an adult. And the song really is about vulnerability and being willing to be gentle, being willing to be uncertain, being willing to be open and fragile and yet deep. So there's all these things that I was afraid of as a young man because of what I had been taught by porn, by the tropes that are out there in the world, by Hollywood, by the way that sex is portrayed. And it took a lot of unlearning to get through that. And so this is an opportunity for me to share a song that is a huge part of my journey as a sexual being. And I'm excited to play it for you now. And so, yeah, this is basically Lovers in the Morning Light. And then we're going to get started chatting with Sarah, and she's going to be asking me a bunch of questions about my experience of being a make love, not porn star. And I think we're just going to have a really fun experience together. So this is it. This is Lovers in the Morning Light. Thank you for being here. And let's do this thing. Thank you so much. Just realized I kind of left you just sitting there. So I hope that was okay.
Oh, that was great. What a gorgeous song.
Thank you so much. I loved it. Thank you. So the way, just for those who don't know how this one's working, Sarah's going to be actually primarily interviewing me because we're curious to share, or like we're excited to share the process of what it means to be someone who's willing to share themselves so openly with the world like this and the sort of philosophies behind that. So before we do that, though, I want to ask Sarah just a few questions about what does it mean to be a curator? So like you're Madam Curator Sarah of Make Love Not Porn. What is a curator and what is it that you get up to over there?
Well, it's an absolutely amazing job and position. I feel very lucky to do it. Basically, Make Love Not Porn, people submit videos of themselves sharing the real world sex they have in their everyday lives in a way that's porn cliche free and not performing for the camera. And the site is curated to ensure that everything that ends up on our site is contextualized, porn cliche free, and consensual. And so basically people send in videos of themselves making love to themselves or other people, and I watch them. And, you know, it's not about censorship or telling people what they should or shouldn't like, but it's just about creating a space online where we can really celebrate sex the way it really happens in the real world. So the reason why I say I'm very privileged is because people really share their vulnerability with me, and I feel very lucky and like just awesome that people are willing to say, you know, I believe in the philosophy of make love, not porn. I believe there should be a space online for this. I'm willing to get naked, as you put it, be vulnerable and share my real world sex. And I'm okay with this woman, Sarah, being the first person to see my video and decide whether it can go on Make Love Not Porn. So, yeah.
That's kind of a huge role to play. And how do you, so obviously you're like the first sort of filter between what people are bringing to you and then what MLMP offers to the world. So how do you curate for that? I mean, what are some of the reasons that you would say yes to a video, and what are some of the reasons you might say, I'm sorry, but this one isn't quite going to work?
Okay, so one of the major things that I look for is context. So people filming before and after, we ask people to write a little backstory about their video, and we ask people to shoot an intro video, often where they talk to the camera about the experience. We talk about how real world sex, you know, it doesn't just start when you're half naked, and it doesn't end when somebody has just had an orgasm. You know, the way mainstream porn portrays it, it's usually when the man has an orgasm, it's totally over. Showing like the real world context in which the sex actually happens is really important. The other thing is also, porn kind of teaches us that close-ups of penetration and like constant, very, very close-up shots of genitalia are kind of what is most valuable about sex videos. And, you know, we say that, you know, it's like the real world emotions and the real world connection that is so important in real world sex. And so we really want to showcase that. So I ask people to pull the camera back to show more of the whole experience. I really love seeing people's faces. You don't necessarily have to show your face in a video for Make Love Not Porn. We allow people to remain anonymous. But I mean, one of my favorite things is just seeing people connecting. Oh,
that's okay. That's real life for you.
Yeah. So the main thing is context, obviously not intentionally or unintentionally replicating porn cliches. So what I mean by that is there's sort of a collection of acts and angles that are very rote in mainstream porn. Cindy Gallup talked about one of the most, you know, sort of ubiquitous ones in her TED talk, mm-hmm. which is the man coming on a woman's face.
Right. I remember that. So,
things like that, I don't know, things like, you know, POV, we don't necessarily curate out for point of view videos, but we ask that things not necessarily always just be from like a male point of view, right? Because there are lots of other points of view. So making sure that the angles and the camera are sort of just about capturing the whole experience and not sort of focusing on like one body part or one act or a sort of porny progression of moments. In mainstream porn, you know, it's pretty standard. Like if you watch a porn scene from beginning to end, which I don't know if that many people actually do, especially if it's the old school kind with dialogue, you know, it's the formula is basically, you know, a little bit of talking, you know, the man gets a blowjob and then there's sex for like 45 minutes, with, you know, positions and angles that emphasize the body part that is like being emphasized that day. So, you know, basically just embracing the whole experience.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I think this is a great segue, at least it is for me, because it immediately relates to some of my own experiences with being a person introduced to sex through pornography. As I said in the article I wrote for you guys all those years ago, my even though my father was someone who really tried to introduce me to sexuality in a healthy way, he gave me books about sexuality as I was sort of hitting puberty, but it was really already too late because I was already being educated by my peers, and it was the early days of internet and we were all like passing CDs and you know of porn around between each other. And so my idea of what porn was that it was this male oriented gaze. And I was supposed to be a skilled performer in the play that was sex. And I had no fucking idea what I was doing. And it was like this huge pressure and intensity that it took me a really long time to unravel. And so that song that I played was like the final piece of me acknowledging, oh shit, I think I've actually unraveled a lot of that stuff. Like there is a difference in how I approach my sex and sexuality at this point. So yeah, I think let's get into it. If there are things, because as you mentioned, there were things you'd love to ask me about my experience of being a make love, not porn star. And I'd love to hear what it is you'd like to know from me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I'd love to know what motivated you to share your first real world sex video on Make Love Not Porn. And, you know, you've been slowly sort of letting the cat out of the bag about being a Make Love Not Porn star. You've been on Make Love Not Porn, I think, since like early 2014. So we've actually known each other for like 4 years.
That's been a good while.
So, yeah, like hundreds of emails, everyone. Like, and we've met in person as well,
that's
right?
True. Yep. Right? Yep.
So, yeah, what motivated you and what motivated you at this moment to sort of announce on your podcast that you're a Make Love Not Porn star?
Okay. So initially it was seeing Cindy Gallup's first, that TED Talk video that really inspired me to join Make Love Not Porn. And I was on it, I think, for maybe 4 to 6 months before I sent in a submission. And it was just kind of like, because my own experience as a sexual, sensual man had been so powerful and profound, and so many of the things she was saying resonated with me around being educated by pornography. And I was doing lots of research, lots of reading, lots of video watching. I watched another TED Talk by Ran Gavrieli, I think his name is. Don't quote me on that, but I will put it in the show notes. He did a TED Talk. He's this beautiful Israeli man. I mean, he's absolutely gorgeous. And his whole TED Talk was why I stopped watching porn. And what he spoke about resonated so deeply with me, how watching pornography over time desensitized him to his lovers, to himself, to the world. It was like this huge, and I was like, oh man, I feel this so strongly. And in my journey, if I had had some other people, some other men, some male examples out there in the world who had said to me, who had just even said to me, dude, porn is just know that this is what's happening to you. And here are some alternatives. This is how some people make love. This is how some other people make love. This is how some people self-pleasure. Here's some other erotica that you can enjoy and learn from and take examples from and be inspired by. If I had had that, I think I would have got out of the rut that I was in far sooner. And so watching Cindy's talk really like lit that fire in me of like, this is what the world needs. And so I joined the site, and I'd already stopped watching porn at that point for several years. And I still, now I've rented so many videos because I rent videos on Make Love Not Porn because I enjoy the experience of people connecting with one another. I don't think I've watched a single one all the way through. I definitely haven't pleasured myself watching all of them. I watch them because I want to see how people are relating with themselves and with each other. And it gives me a little insight into another part of the human experience that I think we need to talk about more. And so it was a few months into being on Make Love Not Porn as a viewer that I eventually thought, you know what, like, I can't think of a reason why I shouldn't share something on there. And I believe that if I can be an example for even one other person out there, either man or woman, who can watch a video of me pleasuring myself and be like, wow, the way he does that makes me feel like I can embrace myself more, or I can approach my life differently, or I can be open with my sexuality more. If any of those things are true, then I was like, I have to do this, because I believe so strongly that sexuality should not be a taboo. It should not be a repressed, hidden part of our culture. And when we repress something that is such an integral part of being human, it causes massive damage. And I just have to look out at the world to see the massive damage that repression has caused. So that's why.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a real generosity in terms of people sharing their real world sex on Make Love Not Porn. I think when people start sharing videos, they're at a point in their sexual journey where they've probably had some bad sex and had some miseducation about what sex should actually be like and what it means to be good in bed, either from porn or just society at large, media at large, or from their upbringing or whatever. And I feel like there's sort of this sense, they're like, you know, if I can get to this place where I feel more comfortable with my sexuality, where I'm having sex that feels good, physically and emotionally, I want to be able to show other people that they also can have that. Mm. And I really recognize that in our Make Love Not Porn start. Mm.
Beautiful. Yeah, I hear that 100%. And yeah, it's this interesting thing for me, because I don't want to pretend that there's not also some erotic element of it for me, because there is. I'm mm-hmm. slightly an exhibitionist. I enjoy the thought that there might be people out there watching. It's kind of cool for me. And I think that that's part of the stuff we need to also embrace. It's not just like, oh, I'm just doing it because it's a good cause. It's like, no, it's one of my sexual appetites. Like, I'm into it. It's cool. And I also like, yeah, when I was sharing it initially, I still don't feel the urge to send people the link and be like, hey, you should totally check out these videos of me. It's not about drawing people into it. It's just about offering something that people can choose to engage with if they want or not. Because every time I turn on the news or open my social media feed or look at anything that's being shared online, I see a lot of aggression and violence and objectification of the human form, generally the female human form, but also the masculine. It's becoming more prevalent. And so if I can share something that is the opposite to that, the flip side of the coin, that is a human exploring sexuality from a sincere place, or as sincere as I am able, then I know that that's important to be out there in the world. So yeah, anyway. What else do you want to know?
Well, you were talking about feeling a bit nervous about sort of opening up, and I said, I think that's pretty normal, actually, to feel a little nervous, because it's like, obviously you feel very personally comfortable about being a Make Love Not Porn star. You've told friends, you've told your partner. So yeah, I guess I still want to know why now?
Oh yes, exactly. I forgot that part of the question. So why now? I guess it's just over time, I'm caring less about the worst case scenario if I do talk about it. So for example, I think, okay, what's the worst case scenario is that someone discovers it, that I have chosen to upload videos of myself pleasuring myself onto the internet, and they think I'm a terrible mm-hmm. person and they choose not to follow me anymore. Or whoever, someone I love hears about it. The thing is, I've told both my parents about it. I've told the people closest to me. And so that's like the worst case scenario. Also, if I ever want to get a job, maybe as a teacher or something, that could be interesting down the line. But I can't live in that kind of fear. And hopefully by then it'll be a little more acceptable and we'll have changed the conversation about what sex and sexuality is. And the reality at the end of the day is someone has to become a member of the site, then they have to pay money to actually. And if they've done that and then they go, I can't believe you're doing something like this. This is terrible. I'm like, well, you chose. I didn't force you. So that's kind of the worst case scenario of if I do talk about it. The worst case scenario of if I don't talk about it is that the world continues down the path it's going right now, which is subjugation of the feminine, which is men being broken by toxic masculinity. People say that, they talk about how, like, I guess feminism or this idea of finding equality or finding an equal footing from which to communicate with one another, be that the sexes or the colors or the different languages or whatever sort of human experience you choose to talk about. But people say that, especially with men, where they're like, oh, well, men aren't affected negatively by not having feminism be a part of our world or not having equality. They don't have to worry too much. And I'm like, that's absolute bullshit. I think especially we talk about white men who've kind of ruled the world for the last few thousand years, have been so negatively impacted by this, as negatively impacted it as everyone else has, but just in different ways. It's just that it isn't as clear because they're the ones who have the power, but they're powerless because they don't know how to communicate from a place of heart, a place of emotion, a place of sincerity. They don't know how to really ask for what they need. They don't know how to be okay with being asked for what other people need. It becomes this ego game of like, oh, so what? You don't think I'm good in bed then? It's like, I mean, the whole thing, it's so broken. And so the worst case scenario of me not talking about it is that the world is screwed. And so I think that when I balance those two things out, it makes sense to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Make Love Not Porn is all about creating change in the real world. We're not just about being an online community. We want to have people talk about it. That's, you know, if you could sum up our mission in three words, it's talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about sex, because people don't talk about it and that needs to change. But yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit more about like how you think Make Love Not Porn combats that toxic masculinity that you were just talking about?
I would say there is an invitation for vulnerability in doing something like this that is unavoidable. And so if one chooses, first of all, to watch those kind of videos, watch mm-hmm. the videos that are on Make Love Not Porn, which I highly recommend that you guys do. I'm not saying you should go and watch me. I really don't. Whether you do or you don't, that's absolutely up to you. But there are beautiful videos of people making love to themselves, making love with their partners, making love with their friends, whoever they've all chosen to get together and do that. And it's, I don't think a person can watch those without being emotionally impacted by it. And this is something you've actually spoken to me about in the past where, you know, coming from that kind of realm already where you find these very emotive and very, you feel a lot of emotions when you're watching these videos. And that's what I experience as well, is it's so much mm-hmm. more a heart-oriented experience that I think for men to watch this and realize, oh my gosh, I don't have to come on her face. I don't have to have this very intensely play-acted experience that is based on a kind of limited set of rules. I think for a man to see that, oh my gosh, that's epic. That's so good. And then if a man chooses, either by himself or with his woman or with his man or with whoever it is that he chooses to associate with, if a man chooses to upload some videos on there, then I think that also is an invitation to communicate with yourself and with the people you're with. So like, for example, if I upload a video of myself onto a site like this, I have to be aware of how it is that I'm behaving and what it is that I'm sharing with the people who choose to watch it, which in itself is an invitation to vulnerability. And I think to me, vulnerability is one of the best tools for fighting toxic masculinity. As soon as men get into their feelings, into their hearts, into their like communicating from that honest place of maybe sometimes I'm not exactly sure what the best thing to do in this situation is, or maybe sometimes like, hey, I feel really sensitive and delicate about this. I think if men can reach those places, then we are definitely breaking down that toxicity.
Yeah, we're really all about, you know, in terms of like cis men and other men, you know, we want to showcase real world male bodies. So, you know, what that means is, you know, in terms of say erections, sometimes dicks are not always hard. Yeah, totally. And that's totally normal and totally okay. And so on Make Love Not Porn, we have a tag called soft serve. And the definition is when a penis isn't super hard, but is still awesome in the extreme. So we want to normalize sort of acceptance around real world male bodies, real world penises, bodies with penises.
That is so huge for me. That was actually a part of my own journey, was that my body had more intelligence than my mind did for some time. And I would have experiences where I would, because at one, for a long time I was single and I wasn't in any kind of committed long-term relationships. So I was, the people I was having sexual interactions with were people I had generally just met. And what began to happen with more and more consistency was that the first time I would meet someone, I wouldn't get hard. And it was this, so it was like this huge invitation to me to be like, okay, look at yourself really. What does it mean as a man who's been given a set of rules, what does it mean if you get into a sexual environment to not get hard? What does that mean? How does that affect my identity as a man? And it was a beautiful invitation to do that work, of to be able to communicate and say in a moment, hey, this isn't an impact on how aroused I am right now. This isn't an impact on us. I just take some time to feel comfortable with a new person. Can we just like cuddle instead, or may I just pleasure you instead? And so it like opened up this whole other sense of vulnerability for me. But the initial experience of it was terribly uncomfortable. I felt like I was less of a man because my body was responding in a way that I thought was not the way it should respond. And it took me so long to be able to actually thank my body and say like, thank you for keeping me safe. Like, you know where I'm comfortable and where I'm not comfortable, and you're just communicating that with me. And it's totally, and that was like, whoa, huge mind blowing experience. So yeah, I'm yay for soft serve.
Awesome. Yeah. I just wanted to mention a couple other ways, you know, now that we're talking in terms of like male bodies. Like, I know that you've written a post about having a lot of body hair, right? Like in porn, most men, you know, we kind of only see them usually from like the neck down or like the belly button down. They're right. Usually kind of sideways and like hiding their arm behind their back, but they're also mostly hairless. Mm. So I thought it was really cool that you wrote a post about just embracing like how hairy you actually are, you know, and just, I like that Make Love Not Porn creates a space where we can just show what real male body hair can look like.
Totally. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's this whole, one of the things I've enjoyed from other Make Love Not Porn stars is reading about how I've read of it more from the women's perspective, because, and I feel like this is probably because women still have more pressure on them to look a certain way. Society has very stringent or strict sort of limitations on that. And what I've read from other Make Love Not Porn stars when they share posts is saying that through Make Love Not Porn, they've become more comfortable with their own bodies, with their own sexuality. And yeah, it's, again, it's that same process of just looking at ourselves and realizing I'm hot. I'm freaking gorgeous, and it's okay. And it doesn't matter what the shape or the color is, but it matters how I embrace that. So yeah.
Everyone looks hot when they're having the best consensual sex of their lives.
Yes. Well said. So I'm really keen to get to a Q&A. Do you have anything else that's really like sitting on you that you'd like to ask or chat about, or, cause then we can kind of start.
You okay, quickly. Cool.
No, that's fine. We've got time. I want to say that whoever's watching this live right now, you can start asking questions or you can start making comments, and we're just going to chat about another little thing, and then we're going to get started with the Q&A. And really, this woman has so much knowledge in her and so much information. She's worked in this area for a long time, and I feel like take this opportunity to get some knowledge, to get some downloads. So that's all I have to say. So what is your question?
Oh yeah. I would just say, like, do you have any tips for somebody who's listening to this podcast and saying, oh, that sounds really cool. I'm thinking that I might like to share a video of just myself or myself and my partner. What are sort of your quick tips for getting started on that?
I have so many things that come to mind. The first thing really is just try it for yourself first. If you haven't yet filmed yourself at all, just do it. Set up your phone. I mean, all modern iPhones have epic cameras. If the lighting is good, so that's another thing, is have not direct lighting, but have like a window near you with the curtain maybe closed if it's a bright day, and it creates a very beautiful kind of light. And just film yourself and enjoy that feeling of knowing that you don't ever have to share that with anyone. You can delete it immediately. There's no like, oh my gosh, now I've done this thing and it's going to be a... It's nothing like that. Just have fun with yourself. How does that feel? How does it look? Is it strange? Would you want to do another one? There's no kind of limitation on how you can explore yourself in that way. And I would say that. And if you're with a partner, certainly speak with them about it. Just bring it up as an idea that you have, with flexibility of like, hey, I'm not saying this is something we should definitely do, but it seems cool and I'd like to try it. Should we maybe watch some videos? That's another thing I would say, is go and watch videos on Make Love Not Porn. Watch solo self-love videos. Watch videos where people are together. Watch people in the shower or in the bath or outdoors, or just get a sense of like what it is that people are doing on there. Get some inspiration for yourselves and just get started, I would say.
That's awesome.
Cool. So I'm very curious to see if anyone has any questions at this point. I can't see any questions yet, but I do see a lovely comment from Peter. And I'm just going to throw that on the screen. He says, and other genders can be hairy too, and it is still beautiful. And
yeah,
hell yeah to that, Peter. I'm completely with you on that one. If anyone...
Not porn, I should say, is all gender. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I would say Make Love Not Porn is all genders and all sexualities.
Fantastic.
All different kinds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen so many wonderful different types of humans using Make Love Not Porn. I actually have a question for you, because you guys are such a bootstrapped company. You've made it happen over years of just like super hard work and dedication. I'm not asking for specifics, but do you have a big user base? Are there a lot of people who enjoy watching videos on Make Love Not Porn? Is there a community that's growing around it that comes back, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been very lucky. So we are a very tiny bootstrapping business. And we've never had any money for marketing, but because our founder, Cindy Gallup, is so amazing, and because we're talking about sex, and people have been very interested in covering us in the media. So we've gotten a lot of interest over the years. I think historically we've had at least 500,000 signups, and we have a really lovely, dedicated member base. We're really lucky that, I think, because we set the tone in terms of being positive and embracing vulnerability, and we just really show that we respect our community and we respect our Make Love Not Porn stars. We're really lucky that I think almost all of our communications with our members are really positive. They've been really affected in a good way by watching videos. You know, people have written to us and said things like, you know, me and my partner haven't had sex in like 8 months, and we watched a video on your site and we had the first sex that we've had in a long time. Other people have said that they've conceived a baby after watching a video on our site. It's been really, really wonderful just to hear how impactful, in a positive way, watching videos has been for our community.
Beautiful. I'm curious to get into this question that Dave has, and maybe you can tell me, because I'm not sure exactly what he means. He says, what is your motivation for self-gratification? That sounds like an old religious term to me. is it? Have you heard of that? Self-gratification.
Self-pleasure.
Yeah, self-pleasure. So what is my motivation for it? Damn, dude, I didn't know I needed motivation. My motivation is that the body asks for what it will. I believe that we have these bodies and they have experiences which bring them joy and bring them health. And so I think there's no shame, or there's nothing to be sort of hidden from around embracing that. I think, again, it's this part of the problem that we've confronted in our historically is that we've suppressed human sexuality. There is such a, I mean, if just let's talk about the clitoris for a moment. As far as we know, its only function is for pleasure. That is the whole purpose, as far as we know, of its existence. And I mean, it, whether you, whatever you choose to call your God or divinity or the universe, I mean, it seems like that was by design. Whether it's evolution or whatever, I just think it's so important to embrace that. And to me, the difference is when I see people who are sexually repressed, people who are not embracing their sexuality, who are maybe not self-pleasuring, who think of it as something that is sinful, that you do only for procreation, what I see is people who have serious stuff in their closets and it comes out in different ways. And this might sound really harsh to say, but one of the things that I see is priests who are sexually abusing children. I think that that to me is one, is the absolute, one of the worst, the very worst things that comes out of sexual repression. Now, I'm not saying, and this is an important distinction to make for men, I'm not saying that you should be ejaculating every day. I think it's very important to follow some of the rules and guidelines of the Eastern traditions of the Taoist traditions, where ejaculation is something that you cultivate and you hold and you train yourself and you practice, because that energy is so powerful. That's a whole nother conversation we could go into another time. But yeah, so motivation for self-gratification is because I believe it's a part of the divine experience of being human. I hope that's simple enough. So we have another comment from a lovely man named Jared. I'm going to throw this up. It's a long one, so it's going to cover our faces, but I shall read it out. It says, "This has been great. I'm curious. MLNP is a window into sexual reality, which is educational, obviously valuable in society, and enjoyable to watch. Traditional porn, with all its problems, seems to be a window into sexual fantasy. Is sexual fantasy bad, or as a culture, are we just fantasizing about the wrong things?" That is such an epic question. I would love to hear your thoughts on that, Sarah.
Well, I would say there's absolutely nothing wrong with fantasy. And just to say, like, we do have videos on Make Love Not Porn where people role play and kind of show what real world, like, role play fantasy can look like. So, I mean, we're absolutely open to that. So we're definitely not saying fantasy is bad. And I don't even think that as a society we're fantasizing about the wrong things. I think it's just about understanding that sex in the real world requires communication with yourself and especially with a partner. And you can't assume that the person you're having sex with can read your mind or is also into the same fantasies as you are. So the key, as with all sexual encounters, is to talk to the person that you're having sex with. It's one of the hardest things to do, but it's one of the most important things to do when you're having sex, is to talk about what you're interested in, what your fantasies are. If the person you're having sex with is interested in playing out those fantasies in some way. And it's also okay, I think, if you're in a relationship, to have fantasies that don't involve your partner. Sometimes people will say that's like tantamount to cheating, but I really don't believe, you know, thoughts are not bad. It's okay to have thoughts. It doesn't mean that they're real. You know, if you're just having a bit of fun and you're not hurting anyone, I think fantasy is totally cool.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And Jared, thank you so much. I think that was a super insightful question. And I feel it's definitely like got me thinking about the distinction around fantasy and reality and what's the difference between porn and make love, not porn. And I would say that to me, my experience of it as a man has been that pornography is generally degrading to the woman. And this is definitely not true for everything. And I speak very firmly when I say that's a generalization, but the general kind of porn thing is it's from the male perspective and it's all about male pleasure. And it assumes that the best thing that can happen to a woman is a man coming somewhere on her, that like her height of enjoyment is if a man is enjoying himself. And so that's like a huge problem, because my experience is that it's actually, and this again, this is my experience, is that it's the opposite, is that the more that I can engage in the pleasure of my woman, the more pleasure I have the potential to experience. And so that means something like, instead of just, having really quick sex where I come within 30 seconds, which can also be amazing sometimes. There are no rules about that. We've had super quickies that are like fantastic and we both love them and they're satisfying in their own way. But as a general rule, I find that the more I can really get into and surrender to her experience through that, it is also my experience and I get so much more out of it. I truly do. Doing things like edging, where just coming to the edge of coming and then holding back and calming down and carrying on, where, I mean, just the sign that a woman can have an orgasm several times in a one lovemaking session, not saying that that should be your goal, but the fact that a woman has that potential, whereas once I've ejaculated, I am done. Like, I just want to sleep. I'm not willing to keep on going in any way, shape or form. And I think that that in itself, that there's that physiological difference, is something to pay attention to. And so yes, as Sarah said so well, Make Love Not Porn, it embraces the fantasies, it embraces the role playing and the various ways of exploring loving one another, but it's doing it from the perspective of being human together, rather than it being a performance from the male gaze, for the male gaze, for the male pleasure. And yeah, I would say that's one of the big distinctions for me. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We have kind of reached the end of the questions. I want to invite anyone who would... Oh, wait, hang on. We've got more questions. My apologies. Let's see. We've got one from Elizabeth, and she says, can you talk about ways to encourage an open dialogue with your partner about sex? That is an epic question, Elizabeth. Sarah, do you want to start on this one?
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it can be hard to start the dialogue. I think starting the dialogue is the hardest part. I think definitely talk to your partner at a time when you're both relaxed. Maybe when, you know, you're cuddling in bed or, you know, going for a walk or, you know, something where your nervous systems are calm and you don't have to go anywhere. So setting can be important, especially if you're having that open question. But I think maybe sharing something about yourself. You know, sharing, you know, saying, I really like it when you do this. You know, is there a particular way you like this? Or, you know, I think sometimes being the one to open up first can sort of create an environment where the other person might feel comfortable being more vulnerable with you. What do you think, Nate?
I would say, yeah, approaching it with vulnerability. One of the things that I feel slightly wary about is that it is a woman who has asked this question. And many of the women I have spoken with have said that when they've brought up sexual things with their men, often the first reaction is defensive, very defensive. Men take it as a judgment on their sexual prowess, because again, that's the conditioning, is that we're supposed to be these sexual beasts who just like thrust away to bring our women to profound orgasms without any conversation. and so my curiosity would be, how do we do it in a way? And I think what you said makes a lot of sense, is around vulnerability and doing it in a safe space. So it's not like, it's not maybe like just after you've had sex or like when, and then it sounds as though you're going, oh, well, that could have been better. But bringing it up in a space of like, hey, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about this thing, or I came across this article, or I came across this website. Maybe a good way would be to show them a Make Love Not Porn video, like to literally say, oh, look at this couple. What do you think of how they're making love? Is this like, could we watch this together maybe? And it'll give us some ideas. Or I suppose like how to make it an invitation. And I hate to say this, but like giving, like bearing in mind that the man's ego can be super sensitive initially, and that it's unfortunate, but if he loves you and if he's committed to the relationship and he sincerely wants you to be to have pleasure, then hopefully he will be open to it. If not initially, maybe he'll go and think about it and be like, you know what, actually what she was saying made sense to me. And so I hope that's helped. I would definitely say look up writings online, look up videos, see how other people are doing that. I'm sure that question has been raised as well. Go to the interwebs. There is a lot out there for us. Okay, so next question. I think we just have two more and then we're going to bring it to a close. So this one is from my beloved, from Kylie. Hi, Kylie. And she says, have you had people send in videos that are initially porn-esque, but after a while they start to send in more real world videos once they watch more of the MLNP videos or realize that they don't have to act anymore? I hope this question makes sense. I've been wondering about it for a while.
Yes, that is a very good question, Carly. I would say that definitely one of the things that I reject videos for the most is close-ups and only showcasing male point of view. And I felt really lucky that, you know, I hate rejecting a video because I feel like people are really sharing their vulnerability. And I want people's videos to end up on Make Love Not Porn. So, you know, I'll send them the email and I'll explain, you know, it looks like the sex that you're having is really great. I'm sure it's the sex that you love in your real life, but because of this, you know, because it's so close up or because you just have this angle, it's sort of, it's not contextualized enough for Make Love Not Porn. Mm. And we've been really fortunate that a lot of people have taken that feedback in stride and have actually submitted again.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because it breaks my heart to reject a video.
Oh, sure.
but you know, when I'm just sort of say gently, you know, the whole experience is good. We want to see more, not less of you. People do come back. And I think the more people film, the more comfortable they get just turning on the camera and sort of forgetting about it as well. Mm. Like you might have experienced this, Nate, especially if you've never filmed yourself before. You know, we don't want you to pretend like the camera isn't there if you're like super conscious of it, because that's more like acting and performing in a way. Mm. But yeah, like we have people on our site who have submitted, you know, between 20 and 50 videos a piece. And now it's like totally natural for them to just like, you know, turn on the camera and go for it and completely forget it's there.
That's amazing.
So it's a process.
Yeah.
Getting comfortable with the camera, getting comfortable with yourself, getting comfortable with, yeah, sharing those awkward moments that you don't normally see.
That's interesting. It's one of the things that took me a bit of, like, I understood the sort of philosophy behind it immediately, but there was definitely more of an urge initially to cut out the kind of awkward bits of, like, for example, like, okay, I'm about to come. I forgot where the tissue paper is. Oh, crap. Yes. like, I have
to do
something.
Those are my favorite
parts. Yeah, they're awesome. It's real humans having real experiences. And I feel like that's a part of what people need to see and feel through that witnessing, be reminded that that's the human experience. It's not all scripted. So, okay, we have one more question. This one is from Jennifer, and she asks, where do you think the use of digital culture is going towards helping people to explore parts of their sexuality that they may be otherwise inhibited to explore? What do you think apps and other digital platforms are doing to open this further? You have an opinion on that one?
That is a big question.
It is a big question.
I mean, I think the internet and the interwebs have definitely enabled people to, you know, from everywhere in the world to connect with people who share similar experiences to them. So whether you live in a big city or a small town, you know, it's not that difficult, I think, to find people who share the same proclivities as you, or, you know, places where people want to talk about sex. So I think it's definitely, the internet has definitely enabled people to both have those conversations and, you know, to connect with people that they can then either, you know, have a purely online relationship with or connect with in the real world. Mm-hmm. So I think that's awesome. I think what's nice about Make Love Not Porn and the curation aspect is that we create a specific kind of container for people where they know that all of the videos on our site have actually gone through a process where, I guess in this case, I've looked at them and determined that, you know, they meet our guidelines. And so people can feel good about watching them and not sort of have what I have termed the porn hangover, where you watch some porn and you know, you get off and then afterwards you go, oh, I don't know, like, was that person really enjoying that? You know, were they paid well? What were the working conditions like? You know, when you're watching real world sex videos, you know, it's real people doing what they really like doing in their real lives. Mm. And that, you know, I've been in communication with them, and you can just feel kind of good about sharing in other people's pleasure.
So, yeah, I'd like to add to that, that one of the things I love about you guys is that you are so respectful of people's changing moods and relationships and everything. And that if someone requests to take a video down, you guys are immediately on it. And I think that that's such a difference to how a lot of people are treated out there who are sharing themselves in this way, like just mainstream pornography. It's an acknowledgement of the vulnerability of how we're choosing to share. And I really appreciate that. So thank you. And that is the end of today's Q&A. And that is also the end of today's live stream. So thank you. If anyone has anything else they'd like to say, if they want to visit the site, is it just mlnp.tv, right? We can just, is that the simplest?
Yeah. So I'm mlnp.tv.
So I do invite you to go and have a look and find some people you feel attracted to or whose story is interesting to you. These lovely folks, Sarah and the rest, are sending out, I think, weekly almost editions of different aspects of making love, not porn. And it's a wonderful little community. And I think, you know, let's embrace our erotic sides. Let's embrace the parts of us that want to get naked and make love. And really, the world needs this from us right now. It needs to know that it is okay to be a sexual, sensual being, really and truly. So yeah, thank you all for watching. I hope that you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you, Sarah, for being here. It's been a real pleasure to share with you. And yeah,
your insights. Me.
Absolutely. What a pleasure. And that's it. We'll be back again sometime soon. Thank you for getting naked with Nate and with Sarah today. And I'll see you all on the next round. Take care of yourselves. Thank you for listening to this long episode of Getting Naked with Nate. I didn't expect it to be so long. I didn't really think it was this long until I looked back at it and realized, oh dear, we had some great conversation. It's amazing how time flies when one is having fun. Yeah, I hope that you got so much out of this. I really just want to, so excited to hear what your thoughts are. So if you're listening to this and you think that it's worth commenting on, then please do go to nakedwithnate.com. You can also just send me a message if you like, either on the website or through Twitter or Facebook, wherever else. You'll find me just Nate, it's Nate Maingard is my name. The easiest really is nakedwithnate.com because you don't have to remember anything else other than that. So yeah, I hope that you enjoyed and that you still like me and you don't think I'm a complete nutter for doing what I do. If you do love this podcast and some of the best ways to help, I'm going to empower you with the ability to give back. Yes. What a wonderful experience. One of the great ways is to leave a review on iTunes. I haven't had a review in many months, so I'm not sure if that's because people aren't enjoying it or maybe if it's just a hassle, which I totally understand. But if you go to nakedwithnate.com, there are little pop-ups all over, not pop-ups, but like along the bottom, there's a button you can click and there are lots of ways to get to that leaving a review. You could just go to nakedwithnate.com/review, but otherwise just go to the website itself and there are so many ways to leave a review on iTunes or wherever you watch, you can go onto my podcast. I think Spreaker has it as well. Is it Spreaker or Stitcher? That's it. Stitcher has it. You can go up there and leave a review. So please do that. I read those reviews and they mean the world to me. It just helps me to know that what I'm doing has value and that people care. Otherwise, it feels a bit like singing into the void sometimes. Even though I love doing this so much, I love it. I also worry that if it's not something that people really enjoy, then maybe I should find other ways to communicate or whatever. I feel like that sounds like a threat. It is not. I'm going to keep doing this podcast. I'm not like, leave me reviews or else. But if you really love it, then become a patron. That is the simple best thing. Just think of, hey, you know what? I think I would like to know that one of the coffees Nate has in the month or one of the 1 hour of his internet time or 1 hour of the subscriptions that he has to buy to upload his podcast. And if you just want to know that you're a part of making the machine of Getting Naked with Nate and of my art, if you want to make that machine work, you want to be the oil in the cogs or the cogs themselves, then do become a patron. It's really as simple as that. And otherwise, just share it out. Share it out to all your friends. Say like, this is the best thing ever. You have to listen to this because it will change your life for the better and it'll save humanity. Wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, we're not trying to save humanity. We're just here having a conversation, being real humans and doing the best to be as honest about it as possible, to be naked about it, to share our feelings and behaviors openly, expressing them with openness, with nakedness, with honesty, with truth, with care, with empathy, with compassion. Let's do this. Let's take another deep breath together. Thank you for getting naked with Nate. I'll see you next week.
Delicate reveal, lame.